Well, certainly need your prayers. Above all, we need the Lord to bless our feeble efforts. Thankful to be here. Thankful for the meeting that I've been able to be in, for the Lord's faithfulness to us, that He's interested in meeting with us and talking with us, and meeting the needs that we find ourselves having, encountering in life. Believe the Lord has the answer to every one of them. Have a burden that's been on my heart for some time that I feel like the Lord had had me to share with you. Again, need your prayers. I'd like to begin in the book of Esther, in the 4th chapter. I'd like to speak with us by the help of the Lord a little about our service to God. 4th chapter of the book of Esther. I find Esther to be one of the most fascinating books and Bible stories that we have, accounts of how the Lord worked throughout this whole scene that we have in the book of Esther. Esther was taken up in a land that was not her own, wasn't a native to the land. She was a foreigner, was brought up as a Jewish orphan, brought up by her uncle in the kingdom. And it was that the king was displeased with his wife. And he asked for all the virgins and the ladies of the kingdom to be brought before him. And she was one of them. And he saw her and he was well pleased with her and chose that she should be appointed to be there in the kingdom with him. You know, throughout the whole, if you read throughout the story, you see that everything that happened was not by coincidence. Nothing that happened in Esther's life was by chance, and I have to believe also the same of ours. The Lord has a divine plan and purpose for every one of our lives. And so it was with Esther that she came down as a little orphan child that had grown up among the Jewish people and found herself in a place where I'm sure she felt so out of place. But the Lord put her there for a reason. And so it came down here in the 4th chapter. Haman had plotted to destroy the Jews. You remember Haman was the man that loved seeing those bow down before him in reverence. And whenever Mordecai would not do that, Esther's uncle, he became furious and found that he was a Jew and so plotted that the Jewish people might be exterminated from the kingdom. Whenever Mordecai heard of this plot, he did what should have been done. He began to mourn, to fast, to call upon God. I'd like to pick up here in the 4th chapter now. Beginning with the 12th verse. And they told the Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape from the king's house, more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. You can read for the sake of time, we won't do it. You can read down Esther, the courage that she had when she was never to approach the king's throne except being called for. She had this determination that if I die, I die. There's a cause here that's greater than I am. There's something here that means more to me than even my life. And so I have the resolve in my heart, no matter the outcome, this is what I'm going to do. This is what the Lord has put me in this place to do. And so he realized that Mordecai reminded her, "Esther, all that's happened in your life, it hasn't been by chance. It hasn't been just by random circumstances that have brought you to this place, but you were put here and brought to this place for a reason. Who knows but what your very existence and your purpose in life comes down to this very moment in time. Oh, do what you need to do. And so Esther, by the courage of God, said, I'll do it. You know, we heard last night of vows. And I believe the Lord wants us to make some vows. I believe the Lord wants us to have it so settled in our hearts. Lord, I'm going to do Your work and Your will. If I die, I die. There's something about life that's greater than I am. There's a purpose and a cause that goes so much further than any interest of my own. And I'm interested in that. And I want to see that go forth. No matter the cause, no matter the price of it. I'm determined. I'm setting some stakes in the ground. Lord, Your cause means more to me than my own. So, it's amazing how God worked in this. The king saw her. He was pleased with her and he held out the scepter for her. She went out and reached the scepter, found favor. The Lord turned that entire situation around and brought deliverance. Because of a Jewish orphan that grew up and desired to do God's will. You know, I believe every one of us here today are put where we're at for a reason. I don't believe that the Lord's plan is that we just wander through life aimlessly, but I believe the Lord has put us in the places that we're at in our lives for such a time as this. I believe no matter what our station and our walk in life, there can be so many reasons and excuses in my mind. Lord, I can't work for You. You see that I'm limited. If only, Lord, I had this ability, and if only I wasn't in this circumstance of life. Lord, I could work for You. I could do more for You. But who knows whether Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You know, we look around and we see the signs of the times. I hope we do. The Lord Jesus talking to the Pharisees, He said, Oh, you hypocrites. You're able to look at the face of the sky and you can discern by the color of it and by the look of the sky what's going to come tomorrow. But you're not able to see by the signs of the time, by everything that's coming to pass around you, what's right before you and what's coming. The Lord wants us to be able to see the signs of the time. Amen. Yeah. Believe if we do, we'll realize the times are short. Yeah, think of Joseph as well. Joseph thrown by his brothers into the well there, into the pit, taken up captive to another, a foreign land by himself. You know, I wonder if he questioned what his purpose was at times. Down there in the prison house, forgotten about him, but the Lord hadn't. There was a purpose in everything that the Lord allowed to come to his life. The enemy tried, his brothers tried to do harm to him. But God meant it for good. God had a plan and a design in his life such that whenever Joseph submitted himself into God's hands. And I want us to notice that there was nothing great, I believe I can say, about Joseph or about Esther. They were just those that said, Lord, I give myself into your hands. Lord, you work your will and your purpose in my life. And that's why the Lord's looking from every one of us here today. The Lord has a plan and a design and a pattern for our life. He has plans for our life that every one of us here today, we have a place to fill in the kingdom of God. We have a place that if we'll be faithful to it, the Lord will honor that. The Lord will take that whenever maybe it seems so little that I have to give. The Lord can bless that and use it. The Lord chooses in His infinite wisdom to use humankind, to use vessels of clay to accomplish His will. Reminded of the words that Thomas Paine wrote around the time of the Revolutionary War, the time that was leading up to that. He said, these are times which try men's souls. You know, that's the times that we're living in today. It's times that try men's souls. It's shaking times. It's trying times. You look at the signs of the times and everything that is being fulfilled around us. The Scripture says in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, I'd like to turn and look at this, Ephesians 5. And the 15th verse says, See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The Lord wants us to walk circumspectly. As we have an understanding and we see the signs of the time around us, it's not time to fold our hands. It's not time to go into our house, into the closet, and try to close ourselves off. It's not time to be complacent, but it's time to set myself. It's time to say, Lord, I want to redeem the time. Whatever you want to do with me, whatever. Jesus said that the work is great. The harvest is great. The work and so many things that need to be done. And here I stand and say, Lord, there's nothing I can do. The Lord wants me to be in the place that I'm ready. To be in the place that I'm willing. Lord, whatever your purpose is for my life, I submit myself into your hands. I think of Moses. Remember whenever the Lord called Moses and spoke to him out of the burning bush there? Moses did not feel equipped and ready. He did not feel like he was prepared for what God had called him to do. Lord, who am I? I can't even speak. I can't go do the thing that you've asked me to do. But the Lord is never looking for our ability. He's not looking for our skill. He's not looking for our talent or the things that we have to offer other than a will that's completely submitted to Him. You notice there as you read in Exodus when He was talking to him, when the Lord presented Himself to Moses, He said, Moses, I am the God of your fathers. I'm the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. I'm the God that was with them. I'm the God that worked the miracles on their behalf. And so by that, to inspire his faith, you know, if the Lord works for them, He can work for me also. If the Lord did the same things for them, they can do it. He can do it for us as well. It is the God that calls is the God of our fathers. The God that went with those before us that's calling yet today. Who's willing to stand in the gap? 2 Kings, 2nd chapter. Comes to the time, Elisha and Elijah, that it's time of his passing, Elijah to be taken. And he told Elisha, if you are with me whenever I depart, you can have a double portion. He was determined to do that. Might to pick up at the 10th verse. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Well, let me start at the 9th. And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. Whenever Elijah passed off the scene, Elisha was left the mantle that was behind. And he picked it up. It was not in the merit of the mantle itself that he picked it up. He didn't just mourn and lament the fact that Elijah is no longer with us. Lord, you know that I need Elijah here. Lord, you know how you've worked with him. If ever I needed Elijah, Lord, it's now. You ever felt that same kind of way? Lord, if ever we needed this one and that one, it's the times that we're living in. Lord, why did you see fit to take this one and that one? You know the charge to us here this morning is the Lord wants us to cry, not where is this one and that one, but Lord, where's their God? The God that they got a hold of, the God that they submitted themselves to. He wants to still show Himself strong in every one of our lives. Everyone, just as they submitted themselves, the Lord wants to still meet us in the same kind of way. The same kind of power, the same kind of anointing, the same kind of blessing upon our lives as what they had. But we're going to have to seek for it. Lord, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Brother Sammons? Where is the God of Brother Kimball? Lord, those that I look back upon and I have respect unto their lives, the Lord still has the same kind of power and victory and grace for every one of us here today that are willing to submit ourselves unto Him. There's a mantle that's been left for every one of us. Those that are passing off the scene, and sometimes we feel so overwhelmed, Lord, with the times that are before us now with everything that's happening around about us. Oh Lord, we need some of these older ones. We need some of the stability. But you know what's happening? The mantle's falling behind to some of us that are coming along behind. You know the charge and responsibility to every one of us that's here. We may not be called to the ministry. We may not be called to what we would think of as a great work. But there is a charge to every one of us that I pick up the mantle of responsibility. That I say, Lord, I want to help bear and shoulder this thing. It means more to me than my life. It means more to me than my own interest. More than life itself. Who is willing today to pick up the mantle? There's no coincidence for where we're at in life. There's no coincidence for what I have or don't have or the abilities that I don't feel like I have. The Lord sees all of that and He's only looking and longing to be able to show and demonstrate His power through a vessel that's willing to get low enough for Him to work through. It is the God of our fathers. Moses, you don't have to worry about your inability. It's the God of your fathers that'll speak for you. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Again, God isn't looking for great ability. And I'm so thankful because I sure wouldn't be here. 1 Corinthians 2. The first verse says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I don't come to you with my education, with my abilities on display. I come before you in a way that's really a position of weakness, in fear and in trembling when I'm speaking before you. Notice that it's not something that draws attention unto myself. It's not my own ability that's on display. It's God. It's the power of God. It's the anointing of God upon His life. That your faith does not stand in the wisdom of men. There are many people that are gifted, able speakers, and motivational speakers. But you know there's something more than that that's going to be required. You can leave from a motivational speech and feel on an emotional high. And you can have a good purpose maybe. I want to do better. I want to turn over a new leaf. But if it's not the work of the Holy Spirit upon the heart of man, it will not be a lasting change. It will not work. The Lord wants to be able to work through the vessels that He chooses and selects, not by any ability of our own, but by His Spirit and by His power. You see, and if you read in the book of Zechariah, it says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." It's not by might, it's not by our ability, it's not by our own power or the own works that we can work up in ourselves, but it's by the demonstration of the Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit being able to have right of way in our lives and being able to work and being able to accomplish that which we cannot accomplish by our own abilities, by our own words, by our own ability to draw people unto ourselves. It's only, Paul said, "I preach unto you Jesus Christ. I know nothing else save that." Jesus, whenever He's lifted up, He said, "I'll draw all men unto me." Whenever I'm willing to put myself in the background, I'm willing to shrink behind the cross and humble myself and get out of the picture, the Lord's able to work. Oh, that I might decrease, that Christ might increase, that He might be able to be the one on display in my life, in the forefront, that there not be that in me that's trying to draw unto myself, that I realize, Lord, I have nothing. Just as Moses, Lord, I don't have anything to offer. The Lord says, if you realize, you know, if we think we're able, that's the time we're very likely not able. If we think that we have the ability, that's really the time when we're least able to do it. The Lord wants us in fear and trembling before Him. Lord, whatever the place that you want me to feel, I can't feel it on my own. But Lord, if you'll put your blessing and your unction upon it, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. You look at the disciples. I like taking before and after pictures of projects around the house and things that I do, little remodeling projects. Take a picture before of what it looked like, and then you take a picture afterwards. And you compare them, and you look at the difference, and it's rewarding. I wonder if the Lord did a little before and after picture of Brother Peter. And some of those other ones that before the time of the day of Pentecost, and you see Peter, and you see the different ones, and their natures that were on display, those that said, Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven upon this city? He said, you don't know what spirits you're of. But you notice why Jesus told him, it's essential, it's necessary that I go away, that I send another one unto you, that I send the Comforter. And he didn't tell them immediately, you go out and you do the work. You go out on your own strength and begin proclaiming the gospel. He said, you wait, you tarry, because there is an important element that you cannot miss. That is the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the working of the Holy Spirit that a vessel is able to be made a blessing. And so it was for Peter, that you saw Peter before the one who was standing before the damsel said, I don't even know the man. Now, you read there in Acts, it says Peter stands up with great boldness and courage and wisdom, and believe it was Stephen, they said that the wisdom and the power that he had, they could not resist. You know, that's not something that was of Stephen. It's not something that was of Peter. But it was a work that took place there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and filled them. Then they went out, and you notice something else. If you read through the book of Acts, whenever they went and they began to preach to those that were around them the gospel message, there was an effect, and it's really the reason why Stephen was stoned to death. There was something that pricked their hearts. There was something that had an authority and a backing behind it. It's not just, the Scripture talks about the foolishness of preaching, because man's words really are unable to accomplish anything. But whenever the backing of the Holy Spirit was upon it, whenever He came and gave them the authority to say it, there was something about the words they spoke that pricked the hearts of those that listened. There was conviction. And that's what Jesus said would happen, that He would come and convict the world. That's not of man's ability. But in every place that we fill in the body of Christ, whether it's a preacher, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, a helper, every place that God sets a member, there is to be His blessing and His anointing to cause it to prosper, to cause it to be profitable. Otherwise, we'll expend our energy for nothing. Paul realized, he said, that he had counted dear, his pedigree, if you will, his background, the fact that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, the Pharisee, said all those things. Now he realized, I count him but dung. I put him behind me, they're of no value, of no worth. What I have, the work that I have before me, those things don't profit me a bit. And so I throw them away as refuse. I cast them away. I don't want to be clothed in my own righteousness. I don't want to have on display my own graces within me, but it's the Lord's. He counted him but dung that he might win Christ and be found in him, not having his own righteousness, but that righteousness that is through Christ. That's what the Lord wants from every one of us. But Paul had to come to a place before he got there. It was a place on the road to Damascus there where the Lord met him in that place. And he fell down on his face and he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? You know, that's the place the Lord wants to bring every one of us to. That I not put conditions and caveats on it. Lord, if you want to use me in this little way, then I'll do that. Lord, you want me to give just a little bit over here, I'll do it. But that I come to the place that I put no strings or conditions on it, that I say, Lord, I'm yours. What will you have me to do? Lord, I have nothing left. I'm on my face. And the Lord met him there. He said, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You know, I fear there are people that are kicking against the pricks, against the leadings and the dealings of the Lord in their lives. You know, I see people that make a start for the Lord. It seems like they last a little while and they soon fall back, and they start out again and they last a little while and they soon fall back. You know, that gets to be discouraging and tiring. That gives the enemy some leverage to be able to say, see, it never works for you. There's not a way in your life that you can have something that's substantial. But I want us to realize if we come to this place with the Lord, where we give our lives to the Lord and then we go on into perfection, and we say, Lord, here am I. I open myself up completely to You. We heard the Scripture last night. I beseech You therefore, brethren, speaking unto the saints, you're not done yet. I beseech You that You present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord, holy, acceptable unto Him. He's your reasonable service. The Lord wants us to bring those things unto the Lord. 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. First Chronicles 16, and the 28th verse. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What are we bringing before the Lord today? It doesn't say just come and be a spectator. Just come and stand on the sidelines. But whenever I come and present myself and my life before the Lord, I come and I bring a gift before Him, an offering. Whenever you look at the Old Testament, the sacrifices and the offerings that they brought to the Lord, it wasn't something that they kept back part of it. But He said, you give the best that you have. You give that that's not any blemish on it. What means the very most to you. The Lord wants us to be in the place, as the song says, whatever it takes. Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. Lord, I give the best. I give of everything that I have unto You. Come unto the Lord. That's the way that the Lord is able to get glory unto His name. Bring a gift before Him. That gift of a life that's crucified and given to Him as a living sacrifice. I'd like to look at another instance in 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. This is picking up the story of when Samaria was besieged. Was put under siege so long, under such a severe attack, that it got to the point of cannibalism. They were eating one another's children. It was that severe. Conditions and lives being lost to the Syrians that had encamped around about the city. Well, I'd like to pick it up in the 7th chapter. And the 3rd verse. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we'll enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we stay here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. When they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. The Lord did the work. Those that were in the city didn't even have to lift a hand against it. But the Lord did the work and caused them to hear a sound, and they fled. When the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, did eat and drink, and carried them silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they went and they spread the news of what they had found. But I want us to take note of what they said. Whenever they went out, they had been in a condition where the city was besieged. Life could hardly even be sustained in the city. And they came to the point and they said, if we stay here, we die. If we go out there, we die. We might as well go. They went, the Lord had caused them to hear a sound. But whenever they found, can you imagine the looks on their faces as they went from one tent to the next, and they found bounty beyond what they could ever even exhaust. You know, in salvation, we're able to find a bounty beyond what we could ever exhaust or find out. The Lord takes us from the place that's besieged, that life cannot be sustained, that we're in a condition of death. Whenever we go out into the camp and we find the joys of salvation, you know, it's easy to just sit back and enjoy it and sit on the sidelines and I'm thankful for what I've always heard, but the Lord wants us to take it and do something with that. That I not just be complacent, that I not just be a spectator. This is not a spectator sport, but that I'm willing to say and examine myself. And I want to ask us the question here this morning. Do we well? Do we well with what the Lord's given us and what the Lord's done? Because the Lord has a call for every one of us. It may not be to go on the street corner and preach and proclaim the gospel in that way. But I want to tell you, every one of the gifts and the places the Lord has given us is critical. And for me to step outside of that will have an effect on the body of Christ. The Lord wants us to fill every place that He's given us to fill, not just to sit idly by. Think about the message that Haggai preached. If you remember, he came into the people. And they had been brought up from out of captivity in Babylon, and they had the chance now to come back into their own homeland and to rebuild the temple that had been torn down and destroyed. And it had been a number of years now whenever the Lord sent Haggai to take the message. And the message that Haggai preached to the people was, consider your ways. All this time from the time that you've had back in your land, maybe you started out to build the temple, but it over the course of time had fallen by the wayside. It had taken a backseat priority. And they had rebuilt their own houses, their own homes, and tended to their own lands, and the Lord sent a little check their way and said, consider your ways. You spend that you have, you exhaust all your efforts and your energy. You live in houses that are sealed, but yet my house lies desolate. My house is here needing work, needing some repair, but yet you're so caught up tending to the own things of your life. You know that's easy for all of us to do. And the work of the Lord, the little place the Lord has for me, kind of fades into the background. The Lord wants that to be in the forefront of our lives. And the Lord understood better than any of us the necessities of life. The necessities and the cares and things of business of life that we have to tend to. But He said, don't let the focus of your life be upon that. Don't focus so much on it that you lose sight of what's really most important in your life. That's where we get to the point that we begin to lose sight of our purpose in life. Begin to lose sight of why I'm really here. I think of the song we sometimes sing, I was born to serve the Lord. All of my purpose in life is to do the will of God. Anything outside of that will not bring real fulfillment. I'll be in a place that I'm wondering. I'll be in a place maybe I'm trying to live for the Lord, but until I get to that place of full consecration, I'm very likely not to keep it. The Lord wants us, each one, to come to that place. I'd like to consider for a little bit requirements. It says in the 5th chapter of Hebrews, it said, you're dull of hearing. For when you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone's still teaching you. There's a process here that you should have been growing. There should be some growth in your life. You've been sitting, you've been hearing the Word going forth. There ought to be some fruit that's being evident from it. But you're in a place that you still have need that someone teach you. The Lord wants to challenge, I believe, every one of us, that we not just give our minimum, that we not just give the bare minimum of what I have to do to get by, that I not just think somehow, you know, I'm doing pretty good. If I can give the Lord Sunday morning, if I can come out and I give that, Lord, this is your time. The Lord wants more than that out of our lives. The Lord wants that to be the very focus and thrust of our lives. Any way that I can serve the Lord, anything that I can do for him? You know, I believe sometimes the Lord hasn't given us much to do because we've not been faithful in little to do. And what the Lord has given us to do, if we're faithful in that, if I'm faithful in the responsibilities and the place of life that the Lord has given me, then maybe He can entrust me with something a little bit more. But the Lord wants us to be in the place that I am stand consecrated and willing vessels, the Scripture says, meet for the Master's use. The place the Lord wants, maybe I'm in a place that I don't understand entirely. Lord, what You're wanting out of my life? I can't see the full picture of what You're trying to do. I don't know where You want me to be in the body. But the Lord wants us to be in the place that I stand ready, that I stand consecrated, that I stand as a vessel that's willing, and I've given myself to Him. You know, the enemy wants to hamstring every one of us. The enemy wants to get us in a place where we spin off like the children of Israel, just wandering in the wilderness, not making any progress, not really getting anywhere with my life. My life really not bearing any fruit at the end of the day for the Lord or for His kingdom. The enemy wants to try to distract and sideline and hamstring and cripple. The Lord wants us to get to the place that we begin defeating some giants in our lives. That I begin to win some victories and that I have some power in my life. That I might be able to be in the place that I can help those that are in need. We heard last night, I believe it was, about the mote and the beam yesterday. If we've got the beam in our own eye, the enemy's been successful in hamstringing us, and I can't do anything. I'm not in a place that I'm even available for the Lord's work. Even if I don't understand, Lord, I don't know what You could even do with me. Maybe I'm a young person. Lord, I can't see the picture. I don't think You're calling me maybe to a ministry or a missionary. Lord, maybe my place doesn't seem very important to me. But I want us to realize, don't allow the enemy, despise not your youth. Don't allow the enemy to undermine your ability to be a blessing and a help and a benefit to the kingdom of God. The Lord wants to take that which is willing. Whenever I give myself and I'm in the place that I'm pure, that I'm holy, that I'm clean, I'm living a clean and faithful life before the Lord, I can be a vessel then that's meet or that's suitable for the Lord's use. That the Lord then, whenever there is a need, He sees one that's standing ready. He sees one that maybe I don't understand what I'm to do, but the Lord can come along and tap on our shoulder and say, here's a little something I want you to do. But the Lord wants us to be in the place first that we might be able to do it. I'd like to talk a little bit about anointing. You know, we pray, I hope you do as well. Lord, anoint the message. Lord, anoint the minister as he stands up. You know, there's nothing we want less than a minister to stand and just speak words or men's words. That's something that will not edify. That's something that's dry, but the effect of the Holy Spirit moving upon His Word, moving upon words that are spoken even from lips of clay, from one that's frail and through the foolishness of preaching, if the Holy Spirit will move upon it, it breathes breath into it. It gives life unto it. The songs that we sing, that we've sung how many times, over and over and over, if the Holy Spirit will inspire and bless, it breathes new breath and new life into it. And I've sung that song before, but I've never gotten that out of it. And it lifts me up and it edifies me and it gives me courage to go on again. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the word to inspire and to breathe breath into. The vision of Ezekiel, whenever he went out into the valley of dry bones, and he looked around and he said it was dry bones all over. The Lord asked him, can these bones live? Lord, thou knowest. And he said, prophesy unto them. And he prophesied, and one of the things that the Lord did, it said that there was a wind that came across, and they stood up and they became a living army. It took them from being just a form, something that was just there in image only. Now it animated them, it gave them force, it gave them life. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The word Spirit, it refers to breath. The breathing of God's breath into. To inspire is to breathe into. Whenever the Lord will inspire a song, He breathes His breath into it. Whenever He inspires a message, It takes maybe the same scriptures that I've read over and over. By the work of the Holy Spirit, it makes it alive to me. And now understanding can come from it. The Lord will take... It amazes me how the Lord will take something that someone will say and He can apply it to every heart in the particular place that they are in their station of life. And maybe you hear out of a message one person got one thing and I hear someone else and I didn't even get that all together. The Holy Spirit knows what we need. The Holy Spirit, by working and by moving, the Word and the Spirit, they're the two witnesses that stand throughout the whole earth that work together in conjunction. I'd like to look at 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter. Consider Saul for a minute. Whenever people cried that they wanted a king, the Lord made choice of the king. First Samuel, the 10th chapter, beginning in the first verse, Saul took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him. He said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Now notice the selection was made by the Lord. The Lord made the choice, and so the Lord places everyone in the body such as it pleases Him. The Lord knows my abilities. The Lord knows the station of life that I'm in. And He makes choice. He plans from way back in my life. Of course, if I submit myself to the Lord, of exactly where I can fit into the body of Christ and be and edify and be able to be a blessing. So the Lord made choice of the king. Here's to be the man that you go and select into Samuel. So Samuel came and he took a vial of oil. The Old Testament oil representative of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. And so by anointing him, he said, let's continue reading. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin, of Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left for the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Skip down to the sixth verse. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou wilt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. Let it be when these signs are come unto thee that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Part of the effect of the anointing on Saul. Saul that was an ordinary man that God said, that's going to be the king. That's the one that I select. Whenever Samuel took and he took the oil and applied it and anointed him, that was representative of the work, the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon a life. He said that whenever this happens, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And Saul, this ordinary man, went from there and he began to prophesy. He began to speak under inspiration because the Holy Spirit moved upon him. You look at Samson. The things that Samson was able to do. It says the Spirit of the Lord moved upon Samson. And he was able to do things which were not possible by ordinary strength. Able to take up the gates of the city and carry him off out of the city. Able to slay all the hundreds of people that he killed. Man can't do that, but the Lord can. The Holy Spirit, by moving upon him. Now in the Old Testament, they were not clean vessels wherein the Holy Spirit could dwell. But there was a place, the Holy of Holies, that the Holy Spirit dwelt. But it moved upon His people. And it moved and it came here upon Saul. And Saul was able to go and prophesy. It moved upon Samson. And Samson was able to do extraordinary things. You know, whenever the Lord makes choice of where He wants me in the body, the Lord will also give grace to match that. And I want us to realize here that there is a measure of anointing that's not just for the minister, but there is a measure of anointing that is to be on every life that's here today. Everyone that is saved and gives myself in sanctification. And I want to fill my place in the body. It doesn't matter if I'm a trustee, if I'm maybe going to help those that are in need and in trouble. Whatever the role and the place that I fill in the body, there is to be a measure of anointing upon that. whereby the Holy Spirit can move upon me. And He's able to do then that which we're not able to do of ourselves. 1 John 2 and the 20th verse. It says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One." That word unction means anointing. You have an anointing upon you. Whenever we give ourselves and the Holy Spirit will come and fill this vessel, then we're able to do that which we couldn't do. That I said, "Lord, I'm not able to fill that place. I'm not able to do that." By the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Lord will make possible that which is impossible. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Talking about the gifts that the Lord gave gifts unto men. It says He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Like for us to look at the 7th verse as well. It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." According to the measure that God gives to every one of us of that gift, of the place that He gives us to fill in our lives, of the little talent that He gives me. The Lord gives grace that's matched to every place that He calls me to go. Everything that He had asked me to do, there's grace and anointing matched for that. If I'm willing to submit myself and just say, "Lord, I'm willing to go. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but Lord, I'm willing." The Lord will give grace to match that and to give success to it. Let everyone, Scripture also says, abide where in the same calling wherein he is called. The place that the Lord calls us to is a place to abide in. It's not for me to say, "You know what, I think I could do something more if I was over there. If I was trying to do this work, if that's not the place the Lord has said, I want you to fill this," we'll not be successful in it. But every one of us, where and to we're called, fill that place. Be willing to stand in the gap in that place, to be able to stand faithful in the place the Lord calls us to. In our services and everything that we do, there's a responsibility that falls really on every one of us. Because whenever I'm living in the place that the Lord can bless my life, whenever His anointing can be upon my life, and I come, He's able to work together collectively in the midst. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. First Corinthians 14 and the 24th verse. "But if all prophesy," the word prophesy, one of the meanings of it is to speak under inspiration, that I move under the inspiration of the Lord and of His Holy Spirit. That goes for everything that I do in my life. If I move under His moving in His hand. You know, that goes even for the songs that we call. If I'm in a place in my life that the Lord's inspiration and anointing is upon me, whenever this one, you know, that's the beauty of Holy Spirit leadership. There's not man that's trying to orchestrate it. It's not by might or by power or by the wisdom of a committee that says we need this song and that song. But the beauty of Holy Spirit leadership is that the Lord's able to have liberty. And He's able to work. And He's able to move. But there's a responsibility, if we want that to work, that I need to be in the place that the Lord can move upon me. That He can inspire and work. And as He does that, and He gives a song to that brother, and He gives a testimony to that sister, it will all work together to the edifying of the body in a way that man could never do. The Lord, by inspiration, if all come together and speak under inspiration, it'll be that. It says, if there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. We sing the song, "Father, send the power down by thy, someone help me with the words of it, by thy power divine, touch the hearts of men. Lord, may they feel thy touch and thy power. Lord, send the power. Now, isn't that our desire? Lord, not only, first and foremost, upon me. Lord, may that fire reside within me. But Lord, touch those that are come in our assemblies. Those that maybe come in from way out in sin, and they sit in the midst of the assembly. We want them to feel something. We want them to feel something that's more than just man's ability. Lord, by thy power divine, touch the hearts of men. Lord, by your working, may they see your glory. And it says here, if you all are in the place, paraphrasing it here, that you're moving under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a collective responsibility of the congregation. If you're in that place, the one that comes in and maybe he's got barriers built up and erected, that it'll be by the working of the Holy Spirit. He is convinced. That's why the Holy Spirit's office, it is to convict and convince the Lord, if he's able to have full right of way in our assemblies and in our lives, the Lord can touch the hearts of men. I believe that's our desire. Before I close, I'd like to remind every one of us, the work is great. Jesus said the harvest is great. As he looked out, I wonder what he'd say today. The laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of harvest will send laborers. You know, I don't think the lack is as much, well, there's just no more Brother Salmons or Brother Kimball's or fill in the blank that the Lord's able to call and use. But I believe it may be because I'm not saying, Lord, I'm willing. Lord, if you want to use me, if there's some place that you can use me, we heard last night and I couldn't agree with it more, there is a lack of consecration among us. There is a lack of deep, settled conviction and consecration that I'm willing to do more than just sit on the sidelines. I'm willing, it's more than just a curiosity for me. It's more than just wanting to hang around the assembly of the saints. And I want to see them do well. I want to see there be growth. But you know, it's easy to kind of sit back and criticize a little bit and wonder why they're not doing more and wonder why maybe we're not reaching more people. Lord, help me to examine this man. Lord, is there a place that I need to be filling that I'm not filling? I don't want to just sit back on the sidelines and be a spectator. But as Esther said, if I die, I die. Put my hat in there. Put my name in the midst. I want to be there. I want to live there. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Lord, whenever you count up, count that this man was born in Zion. Lord, count me as a part of them. Count me as a part of the number. I want to spend my days in the place where the Lord's blessing is. Whenever those of old consecrated and dedicated the temple to the Lord and everything that was in it, every vessel, every dish, every piece of furniture that was in it, they anointed and they consecrated. Lord, this is set apart for your service and for your use. Whenever they did that, and all the same in our lives, whenever I come, the song says, when thy soul the perfect price has paid, God will send the holy fire down, the fire of the Holy Spirit. Whenever they would consecrate the building and the temple, Lord, it's yours for your use and your service. The Lord would come, you can read recorded in multiple places, the Lord will come down and He would fill the place with His glory such that they were not able to stand. Lord, send the power down. But it starts in my life. It starts in my prayer closet. Lord, help me to pray some power down. Lord, help me to pray the place with you that I have that power in my life, that I have that consecration, that I come to the place, Lord, that I'm willing to put a stake in the ground that I never turn back. Lord, I'm making a stake. I'm making a vow here to say, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I'm complete. I give myself to your cause. Remember what David said whenever he came and he looked at his brothers and those of the Israelites that were running scared and cowering back on the hillside from Goliath? He looked at that and he said, is there not a cause? Isn't there something today that's worth us fighting for? Isn't there something, a cause that's even greater than myself? There's something that's even bigger than myself and my own interests. And the Lord wants us to see that cause. That it would do something within us whenever I see the needs and I see those hurting and I see the places that aren't being filled. Lord, I don't know how I can do it, but here I am. Lord, I want to give myself. I want to consecrate myself for your service. And the Lord will be able to send the power down in our lives, in our midst, in our assemblies. But it starts with us being in the place. Lord, I want to fill the gap. The Lord has brought every one of us to the place we're at for such a time as this. It's no coincidence. You know, I would love to see some of those old saints still with us, but they're not. And the Lord saw otherwise. And I have to say, Lord, in any little way that I can, the mantle's been passed down. I don't want to see it lie. I don't want to see it lie on the ground. Lord, if in any way I can help pick that mantle up and shoulder it, Lord, I want to see this work go forward. I want to see my children have a place so they can come. I want them to be able to pick up the same interest and there still be a place in La Ronge, Louisiana, they can come to and hear the truth preached. I want to see that. It means something to me. It means more than life to me. And so I say, Lord, I give myself. If I die, I die. The Lord wants that consecration. He wants us to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Amen.